Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. So I just had some students approach me this week about, you know, they're going to be graduating vet school coming up. And what a different time it is to be going under the knife for Zoom and professional interviews. And we are going to be chatting with Dr. Pam Hale. And we have Ryan Hart here from Destination Pet. Welcome, team.
Hey.
Hello, hello.
How is everybody doing?
Good to see you both. So Dr. Pam Hale is from Destination Pets, and she's Chief Medical Officer, and she's a graduate of Tuskegee University's College of Veterinary Medicine. She earned her Master of Business Administration from St. George's University. Dr. Hale is a member of the AVMA and Georgia VMA. She serves on the Dean's Council for Tuskegee University's College of Veterinary Medicine and the American Veterinary Medical Association Professional Liability Insurance Trust. She shares her home with, get ready, everyone, 7 fur babies and her husband, Chuck.
My husband actually agrees to all the fur babies. So, hey, that's me. I have my babies.
Perfect. I love it. Also with us is Ryan Hart. As Destination Pets Manager of Talent Acquisition, Ryan does more than acquire talent. With 10 years of experience in the veterinary industry, supporting recruitment, new hospital openings, international hiring, onboarding, team engagement, succession planning, and retention, he is a superstar in his field. Ryan is obsessed with innovating new ways of attracting talent, creating compelling employer of choice content, and partnering with in-house contributors and clients as a strategist, interviewer, coach, and mentor. Ryan has worked with veterinarians across a wide range of therapeutics and sectors, from the FDA, pharma vivarians, ER, exotic, zoo, mixed, large animal, the list goes on. When he's not recruiting, networking, or attending industry events, you can find Ryan enjoying the many Oregon National Forests in his kitted out Sprinter van, a ski and a snowboard instructor on Mount Hood, and a passionate enthusiast when it comes to anything cars and motorcycles. Wow. That's impressive, my friend.
Thank you, Adam. Very, very happy to be here. Can address anything from, again, anything vet related, interviews, coaching, anything on that end, or if you want to speak to Sprinter vans and mountain logistics, I'm also your guy.
Yeah, well, let's get right into it with you, Ryan. I mean, my goodness, if you just, you know, rewinded 12 months back to where we were a year ago to where we are now, recruiting, the landscape of recruiting must be so different. So how has recruiting been different today?
Wow, yes. As you mentioned, it's just such a different landscape, the 12 months. I would say looking back, I would have prepped or now prepping for Zoom calls for those non-interpersonal engagements to start really assessing and judging talent by the phone conversation and also what's shared, you know, basically resume and CV, et cetera. So it's a different time now. We're not able to quickly jump in front of a hiring manager without having to jump through some of the prerequisites prior to that.
And the differences between some of the solo practice hospitals and, you know, with the larger groups consolidator, I mean, certain things are changing over the past 12 months too. So I'm sure that has been different too, right?
Yes, most definitely. It's preparation. If it's one location, then that's easy to get your arms around kind of the COVID policies and how we're going to pursue or move an interview from first stage to hospital observation, et cetera. But with a very large organization and you have talent coming to us in many different facets, it's really understanding that all of the team is prepared and we do have our SOPs in line for adhering to kind of the COVID policies and making sure that all of our associates and fellow associates, future associates are safe during this time. So yes, definitely a different Herculean task, but we're doing very well at this.
Good. You know, and Dr. Hale, I mean, we have students that are graduating this time of year, as well as in several months, as well as, you know, veterinarians and technicians that have been practicing for quite some time that get sought out by recruiters. Like, how do you go about handling those kinds of emails or those kinds of phone calls?
Well, I recommend to everyone, just be open to different opportunities. Even if you are gainfully employed, they actually say the best time to find a new job is when you have a job. So I always say, just be open to new opportunities. Doesn't mean you have to take the job or even do an interview, but always be cordial to anyone reaching out to you about a position, even if you're not interested, because one day you may actually be looking for a position and come back around to that company or recruiter that you're speaking with as well. So I say right now, just be open to opportunities that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Sometimes it's super green on the other side. So it's nice just to network and build relationships, I'm sure, too. And Ryan, what about the virtual interview experience? I mean, how has that changed now?
Yes, Zoom has brought a new angle to talent acquisition and recruitment. And it's very easy to get caught in the old manner of not being prepared. So I would say, you know, if you're going to prepare for a Zoom call, understand who's on the other end, how many individuals are on the other end, be prepared for that company in terms of, you know, doing your due diligence prior, but really preparing for just the nuts and bolts of a Zoom interview. I would say there's three L's that I start with, three L's. It's location, you know, where are you going to interview in the household, the laundry room, you know, while a spin cycle is going, probably not the best arrangement. The lighting of the engagement as well. Can you see me, or am I, you know, kind of a hidden candidate there, and we'll surprise you when the lights turn on. But also the last, very important, is locking the door. If you have a kiddo in the family, some rambunctious fur babies, those are all things that you definitely want to keep at bay. So lock the door, location and lighting. Those are very important items to do so. Also silencing your cell phone. I think that's very important to lack the obstructions that may impede on the interview as well. So be prepared.
There was a student that did that. She had a padlock for her door, but it broke when she was getting interviewed, and her cat was able to finagle it. And then all of a sudden, she said the cat's butt went right across the Zoom interview. You know what? It was such a conversation breaker right there. It's like, how can you not talk about that?
I would say in some cases, it might be great to have your pet come through. That's all I'm saying. It happens.
Right. Well, you have seven of them. I think it's bound to happen, right?
That's true.
So Dr. Hale, what happens when they say, you know, we're interested in actually seeing you for a second interview, an in-person interview? What are some things that the candidates should kind of be prepared or ask their employer ahead of time?
Sure. I'll harken back to a little bit of what Ryan noted there. We have to be aware of COVID policies for that particular location. So ask them what their policies are. Should you arrive with your mask, do you text or call before you come in? And you want them to be safe as well as yourself be safe too. I always recommend that if you're traveling to a different city, to try to get there the day before and scope out where you're going. So if you need to find out where the clinic is or the veterinary hospital, maybe drive by the day before, or definitely give yourself plenty of time, MapQuest the traffic so that you're not late. You should arrive anywhere from 10 to 5 minutes early. If you're there too early, they get nervous and feel they need to rush and finish up whatever they're doing to get to you. But also, if you look in that door, everybody is interviewing you from the front desk that may have been there for 20 years, and her opinion may matter even more than the doctor's. So I always say, make sure that when you're interviewing, you know that in person that everyone is going to have a say about you joining that practice.
And to that point, do you recommend when I come in that, you know, Ryan and Pam, that I have the resume or the CV, which is the go-to now? What's hot? What's not?
Great. I mean, as a student, a CV is fine. We recognize you may not have a very long list of jobs that are professionally relevant. As a professional veterinarian that's already been working, a resume would be more preferable. Still bring hard copies. I know everyone says I sent it to you by email, but it's still appropriate to have a nice hard copy, several copies actually, because you may end up talking to the practice manager and a couple associate doctors, as well as the chief of staff or owner of that business. So yes, come prepared for your that interview with your resume in hand.
What do you have to add? Anything else, Ryan?
That was perfect. No, I think that she hit it on the, Dr. Hale hit it on the head on that one. Just bring in a paper copy, be prepared again to address everyone in the hospital as a possible hiring manager. All great advice.
One of the big things that I see too that you get asked is, you know, authenticity. You know, how do I behave in front of my interviewer, my employer? What are your thoughts, Ryan, when someone says like, should I be authentic or how should I behave for the interview process?
Good question. Be authentic to your personal self. you know, understand what your northern compass is, understand what your guiding principles are, and then really, you know, live to that. When I speak to authenticity, Dr. Hale and I together probably composed or conducted 2,000, 3,000 doctor interviews in our careers together. And I would say the ones that stick out to me are truly the doctors that are authentic, have a little bit of flavor, aren't afraid to make a witty joke at times, or even, you know, maybe it's not that witty, but it's still a joke, trying to break the ice. I really look for an authentic teammate, family member that we easily can then present to the local hospital, the hiring manager, stating that, hey, you know, Dr. X is doing phenomenal in X, Y, and Z in skills, surgery space, et cetera. But I would also note that she or he is very, very, you know, witty, loves to practice journalism outside of work, whatever those pieces are that show a little bit of flavor of who that person really is, that candidate, the team can really buy in and adhere to some of those softer elements or soft skills that really truly make the person who they are. And I think that that's coming to the table on Zoom or even in an observation. We all have something that all of us others do not have, and that's truly who we are and the experiences that we've occurred or been in front of up to this point. So use some of those experiences, those personalizations that make you truly who you are. And then I would say that, bring that forward, you know, that forward. But I would say definitely Northern Compass, guiding light, what drives you, and then kind of follow that up with a little bit of flavor of who you are.
I love that. And Dr. Hale, to your point where you said right when you walk into that practice, you're being, you know, checked out immediately. It's nice to showcase your special interests when you're being interviewed too. You don't have to be a board certified anything, but if you're passionate about something, is it important to highlight that to your employer to let them know what your special talents are?
Absolutely. And what's important too is remember doing an interview, whether it's Zoom, by phone, in person, it's a two-way street. So you want them to know about you, your interests. So have questions prepared for them. Will you be able to explore exotic animal medicine? You have a special interest in behavior therapies. Will you be able to do more of that there? While you're listening to them, also tell about their hospital. Remember, it's a family. You are actually joining a family. It may be part of a group, it may be a solo owned practice, but it's a group of people that work together that gel and mesh and form a family. And to speak back to what Ryan was noting there, it is important to be yourself, but be amiable, be open. I'll even say there's body language you need to watch out for. Crossing your arms in front of you is actually closing yourself off. So you wanna make sure you sit with your hands in your lap, or if you have a notepad that you're taking notes with. Your face should be pleasant, smile, but not over smile. We don't want the Cheshire Cat smile in there, but we want a pleasant affectation when you're speaking. Also, just remember, you are joining a family, and it's okay to say, hey, I really have an interest in this, or I found that I'm pretty good at this. Will I be able to do this while I'm here?
I love that. Thank you. And Ryan, you know, some of these veterinarians, especially the students, they have such talent on social media and, you know, they're really building a brand for themselves. And during that interview process, it's important to kind of quantify certain things too, or tell them certain results that they've done or projects that they've accomplished, whether it be social media or a paper or anything like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, always be prepared to quantify at any stage in your career, whether it's academia or on your way out towards retirement, you know, relief doctor, anywhere in between. I think quantifying your experience, whether it's pride projects that you partook, whether it's groups, professional boards, really anything that is, again, outside of the standard curriculum, outside of the standard medicine, but something that shows a little bit of flavor of really who you are and what you put yourself into in terms of, you know, efforts, outward efforts. So quantifying, whether it's surgical experience, and then also, you know, having a story along with where you've used that in academics, also in terms of, you know, experienced doctor that looking for the next engagement, the next role, quantify, you know, what you've done at your previous role, your practice, what you've grown. If there's additional arms of medicine or therapy diagnostics that you've really kind of built within or established in your practice and how you've really position that out to the community and quantifying the success of that. Those are all things that we're looking for. It's very easy to check the yes, no boxes, but when an individual is able to quantify some of that pride, the work that they've done, and there's pride projects or anything that kind of falls outside of just standard, you know, vet medicine, I would say, please come ready to quantify. Yeah.
Yeah, it's super important, especially in veterinary medicine. And then in any position, not just veterinary medicine too, Pam, you are going to get asked this question. Tell me a specific time when blah, 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 blah. What are your recommendations when you get asked that question from an employer?
Well, one, be prepared. Know that it's coming. One that I ask often is tell me about a time when you found you were facing a challenging case or situation at work. I specify at work because it's important that we're relating to how we're interacting at work. Just come prepared for those type of questions. So it's just not, we're going to ask about medical cases and how you might manage this or what surgeries you like doing. We also want to get to know you as a person and how, again, how are you going to fit into our family and our culture?
Yeah. Family culture, so essential in private practice. And Ryan, what about when should I, if I'm the interviewee, if I'm actually interviewing, should I be asking questions like, what are the next steps? Like, how does that work?
Most definitely. Always ask for follow-up for next steps. When would they be contacted by? Who's the next in the process? Express your interest in the position. If you are interested, I'm highly interested. I'd like to move to next steps. Tell me what those may be. Always follow up with an email thank you as well. And that's another opportunity to inquire about, next steps as well. If you missed that, post the phone call then or the Zoom call, then definitely follow up 24 hours with a thank you email to all parties involved in the interview process. Share your interest level in that case. And then again, re-inquire on next steps to be prepared so that you can block out the time for that next step, depending on what that really is.
Dr. Hale, was there any specific candidates that have done exactly what Ryan said that really stood out that said, oh, that was really nice that they went the extra mile to show a courtesy thank you?
Today, if you send something handwritten, that would be an extra mile. that was typically always my recommendation, a couple years ago, send a handwritten thank you note. But we know that an email thank you note is just as acceptable these days. But if you happen to do a handwritten one, that would definitely go very far as well. Just a follow-up and then a call. Maybe wait 3 or 4 days and call back and speak to that hiring manager. If it was a recruiter or if it was in the hospital, speak to that chief of staff, practice manager that you're following up. And, again, as you're leaving, you're wanting to know the next steps. When do you expect to hear from them? But it's still okay to follow up with them as well to let them know of your continued interest.
What do you think is an acceptable time frame to hear back from employers? I'm sure it varies, Ryan and Pam, with from employer to employer. But what are some things that you're hearing in the industry to turn around to give an offer?
Turnaround time anywhere between, if it's in terms of, if I understand your question correctly, post-interview, last interview to offer. Generally, probably no more than a week. Honestly, we should have communication within 24, 48 hours with the candidate, helping them understand the next steps, giving them an idea of why or what that time might take. If I'm seeking for approvals for that offer to be drafted, mm-hmm. if our legal team's reviewing any of those amendments to our offer specifically. But I would say anywhere between 24 hours in terms of just at least next steps to, hey, we're preparing an interview for you. Here's the location. Here's the team members involved seeking approval. We'll have that back to you 72 hours, no more than a week at the most, but I would say 72 hours for an offer. Speed is a weapon in recruitment. So it's such a competitive market. We're working under 1% unemployment rate. So for us, it's best obviously to strike when the ether is warm and hot. So we're trying to accelerate this process while answering and helping answer all questions related to benefits, future, pathing, allowances, CEing, all of those things that we offer, we definitely want to vet those. Every doctor is needing different employer of choice content pieces. So for us, it's really also that period of time to understand what is that candidate really needing? What are they maybe not receiving? And then how do I formulate that into an offer timing, within 72 hours, ideally for that candidate to receive our terms. And then we go back and forth basically and work to amend to have all parties, fall in love basically.
Right. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much for your time. Stay safe. And thank you for being on the Vet Blast podcast, everyone.
Thank you. We enjoyed it.
Adam.
Thank you to everyone out there. Always stay safe out there and stay possum. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.